Our gospel lesson today is Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So when Ed asks me where to find something in our house, I usually say, "Oh, it's right in front of you. Keep looking." You know, like soap. Soap it was one day. I said, "Oh, just look for it." And he said, "I don't see it. I can't find it anywhere." So guess where I went and found it? Right in front of him, literally. Sound familiar? The thing is, sometimes we can't see things even when they are right in front of us. Think about foghorns. They can be the only warning of the arrival of a huge ship, a ship you literally cannot see until it is almost to the shore. Isn't that wild? How could something so large be so close and yet invisible? In the fog, you've got to really pay attention. This story of Jesus' transfiguration is a story about paying attention. It's a story about learning that what you're looking for is actually right in front of you. These disciples were dedicated followers of Jesus. Peter knew Jesus was the Messiah, but what they saw and heard on that mountain was a new Jesus. Jesus in a new light, literally. It was God in all God's glory right in front of their eyes. You can only imagine how overwhelming it might have been. Peter knows that what they're seeing is so important. That's why he suggests putting up shelters for them. He wants to do what many of us want to do when we encounter something spectacular: preserve it, freeze frame, which is never possible, is it? The sights and sounds of the Transfiguration are amazing. They saw Moses, the giver of the law, Elijah, representing the prophets, and Jesus, the Messiah. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about Jesus' mission. His departure, which he's about to accomplish in Jerusalem. In other words, they're continuing a conversation Jesus had started earlier when he was telling his disciples about his future and his death in Luke 9:22. After that, Jesus says, "Anyone who wants to be his follower must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow him." Now talk about a difficult conversation to hear. Now Jesus wants to make sure they understand. He wants them to pay attention. Now some people say we don't have these kind of amazing visions or encounters with God today, but I disagree. When have you seen the glory of God? Let me ask it this way. When have you been overwhelmed by God's power? Maybe on a majestic mountain or in the tides of the ocean? Or the lush green of a forest, or the smile of a baby? These are similar to the Transfiguration. They're mountaintop experiences, if you will. And we all have these experiences when we see the glory of God. These times give us the inspiration we need to go back down into the valleys of life, right? They inspire and encourage us in day-to-day life, and we remember them usually for the rest of our lives. So we do see God if we are paying attention. What they saw on that mountain was truly the glory of God. They saw Jesus, his face changed and his clothes dazzling white. In other words, they saw that Jesus was holy, more than just a man, God. And it's important that they saw Moses. We all know Moses led the people out of Egypt and through the wilderness, and he was the one who went up on Mount Sinai and met with God to receive the Ten Commandments. He was so close to the glory of God that his own face started glowing. It's important that Elijah was there because he was the prophet who defeated the gods of Baal, the one who relied upon God for every need. And both of them, Moses and Elijah, left their ministries by passing their mantle to the next leader after them. After Moses, Joshua led the people into the promised land. After Elijah went to heaven, Elisha inherited his mantle and his role as a prophet. And here is Jesus on the mountain with, you guessed it, his successors, Peter, James, and John, who will carry on his ministry. Peter, according to Jesus, will be the rock and foundation of the church. Jesus has taken them to this mountaintop experience because he wants them to know him and carry on his ministry. They already know a lot about him through his teaching, healing, preaching, and praying, but knowing about someone is different than really knowing them, right? Jesus wants to be known, that they might truly comprehend his power and mission and carry that into the world. Isn't this true of us today? Jesus wants us to know him so we can share him with the world. I wonder, how have you come to know Jesus, not just about him? How have you experienced his presence in your life? Maybe you didn't even realize it was Jesus at the time. Sometimes we have to stop and look back to understand he was with us. God enabled those disciples to see Jesus in a totally new light, their friend and Lord from a completely new perspective. When have you seen something ordinary in a new light, from a new perspective? Have you ever seen a friend or loved one doing something you never knew they could do? Francis Dorf has a story called The Rabbi's Gift. There was a famous monastery which once had been full of monks and lots of visitors, but had fallen on hard times. At last, there were only a handful of elderly monks going about their work with heavy hearts, and the only time their spirits were lifted was when they heard that a rabbi was walking in the woods. See, in the woods near the monastery was a small hut that this rabbi had as a retreat where he would come to pray. And when the monks in the monastery knew he was there praying, they felt supported by his prayers. So one day, the abbot of the monastery, hearing the rabbi in the woods, decided to go see him. And when he reached the little hut, there was the rabbi with his arms outstretched as if he had been waiting. They greeted one another. They went into the hut to a table with a book of scripture opened. They sat there and prayed, and then the abbot began to weep. He poured out his concern for the monastery and the monks. Finally, the rabbi said, "You seek a teaching from me, and I have one for you. It is a teaching which I will say to you, and then I will never repeat. When you share this teaching with the monks, say it once and never repeat it. The teaching is this: listen carefully. The Messiah is among you." Well, the abbot heard that teaching, thanked the rabbi, and went back to the monastery and said to them, "Listen carefully. I will say this only once. The teaching is this: one of us is the Messiah." It wasn't exactly what the rabbi had said, but they began to look at one another in a whole new light. Is Brother John the Messiah or Father James? Who is it? In the days to come, they went about their prayer and work and study and saw each other in a new way. They showed new love and respect and lived with a new sense of expectation. And soon the word spread about this amazing monastery. What if Jesus is right here among us if we will pay attention? What if Jesus is talking to us if we will listen? Jesus did in fact say in Matthew 18:20 that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. But do we believe that? Do we act like Jesus is right here with us? Do we treat one another as people who have Christ within them? Because that's how we encounter Jesus today, through other people. As we've been celebrating Black History Month, we've celebrated some amazing stories of our brothers and sisters of color, because we are all children of God. and we can all learn so much from our differences and our similarities. Hasn't it been a gift to learn these new stories and be inspired in new ways? I was reading some of Martin Luther King Jr.'s words this week, and his last sermon is so meaningful. He spoke about going to the mountaintop and how it gave him the strength to carry on. His last sermon was delivered on April 3, 1968, on the eve of his assassination at Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee, where he had come to support a sanitation worker strike and was asked to speak just at the last minute. He concluded with these powerful, profound words. "I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." We too don't know what will happen next in life. But what if we allowed ourselves to be changed by our experiences on the mountaintops? That's what happened to the three disciples on that mountain. They were changed. It was so good for them to see Jesus with Moses and Elijah because soon people would be saying Jesus had broken the law and defied the prophets, and they could remember that moment. It was good for the disciples to hear God's voice saying, "This is my son whom I love," because soon people would be saying that Jesus was not the Son of God or that God didn't love Jesus, and they could remember that moment. It was really good when God said, "Listen to him," because those words summed up the whole experience and gave them something to do when they left the mountaintop. The mountaintop experiences are like touchstones, times to go back to, memories that sustain and encourage and inspire us during the valleys of life. We learn and see things in a new way, in a new light, and it changes our lives for the good. Friends, how have you been changed? And those last three words, "listen to him," those are words for us, right? We are called to listen to Jesus, whether on the mountaintop or in the valleys. The three disciples, they saw and heard this amazing transfiguration. So after this, were their lives totally easy? No. Did they totally understand Jesus' mission and their mission going forward? No. But their lives were changed. They started to really know Jesus, not just about him. And you can bet this experience carried them through some real valleys and hard times of life. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, our time of preparation for Easter. It's symbolically a valley that we're going through on our way to the mountaintop of Easter morning. And it's the perfect time to obey those last three words from God's voice, to really listen to Jesus. Lent is the time for us to listen with an attitude of expectancy. When we come to worship each week, we want to prayerfully come ready to meet God and see God and hear from God. Worship is more than just hearing and seeing some good things. It's about an encounter with our living, loving Lord. And it doesn't just happen in worship. It can happen anytime if we pay attention. But this Lenten season, I am urging all of us to reset and rejoin our community in person, if at all possible, or faithfully online, if that's what's really needed for you. But I'm asking us to come and be ready to meet Jesus in a person, a song, a word. And God is asking all of us to listen so that we can hear what needs to be heard. Friends, may we enter this holy season paying attention, looking for God right in front of us. May we know that every encounter with God changes us and prepares us for life. And may we listen to Jesus and follow him. Amen.